Can we proceed? The agenda is before you. Anyone who wants to add or subtract anything from the agenda, if you are happy with the agenda, can we get a proposal for the adoption of the agenda? Honorable Killian proposes adoption. Honorable Moloi Mokoto, you haven't bewitched anybody, so it can be Moloi. Seconds. Thank you. Can we take a few minutes and just go through the report and mark where we want to amend and so on, so that we proceed from there? Business is the report. Just going through the report before. Thank you. Honorable members, can we go page by page, just look at if there are corrections, and then reserve substantive matters for later. First do the corrections. On page 1, at the end. No, no, of the report. You want us to do the minutes first. Maybe you are right. Maybe there are matters in the minutes that may affect the... Yeah. Yeah. With the minutes, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Can we take some 3 minutes again just to look at the minutes because it has been a long weekend. We shouldn't assume that people have had time to read the minutes. Mr. Waters, who is an alternate from the DA, Dr. Laureate is with you, with us. You are welcome. Shall we look at the minutes, corrections, page 1?
Chairperson noted that on the 2nd of May 2018, the committee was unable to adopt the minutes as there was no quorum. I felt that that comma was not supposed to be there.
Comma.
The comma, there seems to be a comma there, unless my eyes are failing me. So it should just read one continuous sentence without a comma. Thank you.
Thank you.
supposed to be released from the prison in Chibet and then arrested at court instead of the arrest being the initial response, because they out appointed removed from the prison is just like a warning that you are trapping and then go out if the person does this.
You are right. I think it's a matter of logic. The logic would dictate that you remove first in the event of resistance and then you arrest. Do we agree with that?
Sorry, Chair, I just need clarity. We've already passed these amendments. So what are we correcting now? Are we correcting the minutes? Can I just understand which specific sentence so that we don't correct what we didn't say at the meeting?
No.
I just need clarity. Chairperson, this refers to section 11, which was the actual reason for the establishment of this ad hoc committee. And this is how it is in the principal act, arrested and removed. And it means that you are arrested on the spot and then removed from the precinct. Chairperson, I think it is understood exactly what is meant. The point is, how else do you remove somebody who is causing a disturbance? You have to actually go to the person to say, I'm the police officer, I'm now hereby arresting you and I will take you out. But obviously, you know, so I think it is understood that there will not be sort of all sorts of funny charges and they will not be thrown in a prison and locked away, etc., etc. But the point is, the police have, in terms of protecting the Parliament as a key point, they have to move in, arrest and remove a person who's causing a disturbance. And we're not...
I'll tell you why I agree with the last two speakers. Because we're not dealing with an ordinary situation of just removal from the house. This is in terms of the law. Because you are then under arrest because you have violated the law. And then you are arrested and removed. So, and that's how the act reads. But if it's just a violation of the rule in the house, the logic that you are suggesting would be the correct logic.
Because it doesn't affect a member, it's any other member.
12A. The registrar or clerk of the court sentencing that member must in writing inform the speaker of the provincial legislation. Are we just assuming that that sentence as well encompasses the house in the case of the chairperson? Because if the way it's captured there, it's like that sentence only talks to a situation in the National Assembly. The speaker, as in the provincial legislation.
Which are you?
We are dealing with the minutes. I'm
page 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on page 113.
Oh, 8113.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about this. The us mentioning the speaker of the province's judicial legislation, and I'm saying, is there an assumption that that sentence also talks to the situation of the chairperson of the house in the case of the NCOP and the National Assembly, as it is, or we're supposed to be stating, speaker of the legislature, chairperson of the house.
Honorable members, what is your understanding? Honorable Killian?
Reading of Section 30 specifically refers to the duty of criminal courts in respect of members of provincial legislatures.
Then I'm covered if that's the case. I thought it also talks to the rest of the institution. Thanks. Only one submission would have gone the route of the public hearing, which to me is a bit problematic.
We had some discussion on this matter, but I don't want to speak to the committee. What is your recollection of how we came to that? Honorable Killian?
Chairperson, it will do no harm if we delete the first sentence, but the fact is we have deliberated on it, and we said, because we've publicized it widely and we actually made a joke to say, it just shows you, members of the public just want to see the shenanigans in the house. They're not really looking at the nitty-gritty of legalities. So I think we can, I'm not sort of sold on either way, but we have deliberated on that, and we said it doesn't make sense. We've received one after quite an extended period, and therefore we can proceed.
I think the other consideration was that this is really a very technical matter, and the public is not interested in technical issues but the substantive issues. So, you know, if we delete it, it may suggest that we arbitrarily, without sound reasons, didn't conduct public hearings. I don't know what the Honourable Doctor.
Chairperson, yes, I agree with that, because if we don't minute it, it does not reflect that we actually discussed the reason why we did not have public hearings.
Maybe let me try and qualify it a bit. I'm just worried in the manner which it has been captured. And I'm not denying that people did not participate. We got one submission. That one I agree. But the manner in which it has been captured, if I were to come across a document like this, I was not part of your process. My assumption is that you had wanted to go the route of public hearings, but on the basis that you only received one submission, then you decided not to do it, which to me is not the reason why. It has got nothing to do with us not going the route of public hearing. The fact that we received only one submission, to me, is not the reason why we did not conduct public hearing.
We can add that, because the matter was technically... if we can just... Doctor?
We're dealing with the minutes, so it should reflect what we discussed. We can add that in our report when we discuss the report.
Okay, fine. Okay. Thanks. Any other? You can't deal with page 7 unless you don't want me to sign the minutes. Any matters arising from this minutes? Maybe before any proposal for the adoption of the Honorable Kilian proposes adoption. Honorable Dr. Laureate seconds. Any problem? Minutes are duly adopted. Can we go to matters arising, page 1? Outside as duly adopted, and I gave you time to go through the report. Can we go through the same ritual of looking at page 1? Are there any corrections on page 1 of the report? Honorable Kilian.
Jefferson, I would like to refer to the introduction section 1.1, and I would like to suggest, if we look at it, it says, following the Constitutional Court judgment handed down on 18 March 2016, which held that the omission of the words other than a member after the word person at the beginning of section 11 of the Act inconsistent with the Constitution, the National Assembly on 19 May 2016 resolved to establish an ad hoc committee on the review of the powers and privileges and immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act. Now, I would like to suggest that we stop there, that we put a full stop at the end of that, and that we then say the ad hoc committee was instructed, and then we look at the exact wording of the section that was adopted by the National Assembly. The National Assembly resolution said, notes the Constitutional Court judgment in Democratic Alliance versus so-and-so on 18 March regarding the constitutional validity of Section 11 of the Powers and Privileges Act, you know, the whole long title, and establishes an ad hoc committee. The committee to that section should go in there. It says to review the Act, taking into account the Constitutional Court judgment, and bring it in line with the developments relating to parliamentary powers and privilege, and introduce a bill in accordance with Chapter 13 of the Assembly Rules. So that we stick to the exact wording instead of... My concern is that here we are sort of utilizing own description, and it would be better if we take that paragraph to elaborate further in that specific paragraph.
In short, we shouldn't exceed the powers given to us by the House.
Exactly.
Are we in agreement, Honourable Members? We had a specific mandate. Let's keep to that mandate and let's reflect it. Okay. Any other correction? We
on
agree.
Page?
Page.
On the same page.
On the same page.
Yeah. Chairperson, then, I don't know if we look at 1.2, the Constitutional Court judgment emphasized that. Now, that section, where it's got A, B, and C. Did we extract the wording from the Constitutional Court judgment? The reason that I'm asking that is, if I read the first one, A, Section 11 of the principal, I would like to say the principal act, now allows for arrest of a member. It sounds draconian, whereas the act doesn't say that, but because of the fact that it didn't specify a person other than a member, you see. So my suggestion would be that we say Section 11 of the principal act provides for persons creating a disturbance in the precincts of Parliament to be arrested. This could lead to an infringement of Section 58, 1A and 71 A of the Constitution. This could lead to it. It doesn't, you know, what I'm trying to say is if members are involved in disturbances, and disturbance is not well defined, it could lead to that. As it is described at present, I think it is not correct, because it appears that we have had in place a very seriously flawed, unconstitutional act. So I would like to suggest that the wording there needs to be very neat. And I would suggest then that we don't say too much. We say this is essentially what the act says. It says, provides for persons creating a disturbance in the precincts of member possibly followed, blah, 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 which could lead to an infringement of Section 58 and 59 of the Act, and that we delete the rest of that paragraph. And then we go to the next one to say, B, freedom of speech is subject to the rules and orders envisaged in Section 57 and 70 of the Constitution, and so on. Last paragraph, Chair. I would like to suggest that we say the immunities described in Section 58.1b and 70.1b of the Constitution, then we delete such as the immunity attached to parliamentary free speech. We say, as in the Constitution, are absolute and are not subject to rules and orders, so that we refer to exactly what the Constitution says, and we don't go any, and we don't put little words that could be an interpretation of what the Constitution is saying. So that would be my recommendation on the last paragraph there, that we stick, you know, neat and concise wording. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I agree, but I just want to check. I unfortunately don't have my documents with me now. But in the judgment is, this refers to the court judgment, is what we have in A, B, and C, a summary and not necessarily a verbatim reflection of the actual court judgment. Because if the court judgment states that, then it's different. But if if it is the interpretation of the writers of the report, then we can change it.
I'm also advised that it's from the summary, from the presenter. Yeah.
It's a summary from the presentations that were previously done by the legal services. If I summarize it. Yes, it's from the presentation that they've done to it for the colony.
Jay, I will reluctantly accept that, but as I say, I would have felt more comfortable if we have in fact summarized exactly from the Constitutional Court judgment and not from the presentation. Because, you know, we should be guided by the Constitutional Court. So I think what we need to do is just go back and just refine. We don't want to defer the adoption of the report. We just want to be accurate when we reflect, Jim. That's the only
in alignment thing. With the Constitution, can we?
Judgment.
Yeah, with the judgment, yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
Um, 3.1, it is the 1-3 sentence. The committee agreed to review the Act beyond the implications of the Constitutional Court judgment and to consider other sections of the Act for possible amendment where the Act limits free speech. I think that's what the only thing we did. We did in fact also amend certain grammatical issues. So if we can also include that, because if you look at the rest of the report, many of those amendments are indeed grammatical.
Chair, I also noted that, and I thought we should actually say, and to consider other sections of the Act for possible amendment, and then we don't specify free, you know, just because it's not the limited scope that we've had. So we delete the last section, and then we capture, then we obviously have the mandate fixed.
Are we all at one? Thank you very much. Page 3. Yes.
Just before page 3. On the same paragraph, the last sentence. Moreover, the committee received and discussed the presentations on the majority and minority judgment in order to get all views expressed by the judges. I am of the opinion that the full stop was not supposed to be there, because it reads like it's two sentences when it is actually one.
Very good, school principal.
Chairperson, I think this is just the point where we have to perhaps add a 3.4 in terms of the public hearings and just reflect that why public hearings were not held.
Thank you.
Chairperson, as per usual, it is just to reflect at 4.2 that the DA does reserve its position at this point within the report. Although, we accept the report, but just in terms of support of the bill.
Right. Perfectly within your right, Honorable Matthias.
Chair, thank you. Well, are we now in the phase in which we can debate the...
No, we still...
Because you are not yet there, Honorable Lottrick. I don't know why you call her laureate. She's from the Free State, just I'm from the Free State. Called Lottridge. So I don't know why you allow her to make that point.
I've been on sick leave. I'm still trying to deal with myself. I'm sorry.
Because I was about to correct her, if you permit me.
Okay.
But I've only that she should by now be carrying full mandate from the party. Also judging the quality of inputs that she makes, which are most welcome, which are progressive, we are taking the process forward. But each time when we arrive at this stage, she says she reserves the part, her comment as to whether to support or not. It's like a soccer player who plays off the ball because he or she doesn't want to get injured. Plays off the ball. And we've got plenty of such players. Those who follow soccer will tell you of such non-soccer players playing off the ball. But just this is in jest. I would have hoped that by now she should be carrying the full mandate of the party, judging, of course, on the basis of the contribution.
Let's not what from the party. It may be. I guess she doesn't misrepresent the party. Hello?
I just wanted to ask Dr. Lottrick through you, 4.1.16, does that not cover you where it says, and one member reserved her votes? Did you want to...
Sorry,
just to make sure that we... And then, because in the end, 4.2, the recommendation was a majority recommendation. So it is a committee recommendation. You know, she listed the position up there, but the committee adopted and is ready to present to the House.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, in 4.1.16, it does indeed say one member. I would like that then to be specified. That is for me to, in order also to protect myself in terms of my caucus mandate. And then the committee recommends... But it, okay, I can accept that, but it was not unanimous at this point.
No, I think
it's not that I'm, we object.
I don't think that it does any harm to the agreement that we reached. Let's respect her mandate.
Page mandate at all. Okay. I doubt you should have.
Because you are also in doubt, so we can't be guided by doubt. Second subject to amend.
Chair, I'll second adoption of the report.
Same thing.
Subject to the amendments.
Yes. Thank you very much. So, Honorable Matthias, I think you can be rest assured that we are at one.
Chairperson, I have the sign tagging and it's a 75 for.
That statement, you don't.
Chairperson, do you want me to explain the reason as to why it's 75?
Yeah, yes.
Well, briefly, in order for a ball to be a 76 ball, it needs to meet the requirements in terms of the schedules as to whether it affects the interests of provinces, or specifically in Section 76 there's a list of areas when a bill becomes Section 75. This bill deals with parliament and parliamentary privilege, so it does not have it's not one of the areas listed in the constitution as an area that falls within Schedule 4 or Schedule 5 or any of the other areas in the 76 bill. So the short answer is it is not a 76-4 for those reasons, and therefore it becomes Section 75. It's also not a 74 or a 77.
That's useful, because some of the things we do for posterity, not for ourselves, so that even those that are not yet born, they must understand why we come to some conclusions. Any announcements? There are no announcements. Let me just, for the record, say that the young lady next to me actually, if it was within my power to promote people, I would promote her. She has done wonderful work. I don't know how we would have coped. You know, we didn't have a whip in this committee. Honorable Nyami as well, with heavy responsibility elsewhere, he tried to play a whip, but with her assistance, we were able to do this work under very, very difficult circumstances. And we want to thank you very much for your loyalty to your job and your office. And Honorable Nyami, sometimes you also whipped me. I forgot certain things, and you made sure that even after office hours, you reminded me of my responsibilities. And to the honorable members, we know that you have been overstretched elsewhere, but when called after hours or during lunchtime, you availed yourself, and thank you very much for the job well done. And that brings us to the close of the meeting, and I guess you know that Parliament will be on recess for a longer time for those who are not in the public hearings. So please continue to do work, good work for the people of this country. Honorable Shilembe, thank you very much. The meeting adjourns.